station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday, August 2nd. What's Friday called? Not hump day.
We just say happy Friday.
Okay.
So happy Friday.
TGIF, I guess.
Yep. TGIF.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, good morning. We're all energized and everything for the weekend. And we have a very special guest who's going to come on in just a second who brought us cocktails and stuff. So those cocktails are waiting for us. And who knows where we'll be at the end of the show.
Oh, gosh.
We'll see. Do you can you hold your alcohol pretty well?
I think I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, me too. Although I don't drink a lot, you know, I'm not a big drinker or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some drinks I like and stuff. I just I never drink to the point of being like
obliterated.
Yeah, exactly, like blacking out or anything,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no.
Never get to that point, but sometimes
although,
you know,
yeah. Well,
yeah, sometimes I'll drink, you know. So what's your favorite drink? What do you like?
I like whiskey.
Do you really?
I'm a JMO ginger girl. Yeah, that's my MO. that's totally my thing. And this my last night, it was, the sponsor was Jack Daniels, but it was open bar.
Really?
So I was like,
wow.
Yeah, free whiskey.
Free whiskey, wow. So tell us where you went last night.
Last night, I went to the House of Blues to see Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Good.
She's like it's like no time has gone by for this woman.
Really?
She's amazing live.
Wow.
Like I don't even have any other words to describe it. Like just absolutely amazing.
Wow. Because she hasn't been around for a while, right? But I mean, she used to be really hot in the
80s. Right. Yeah. Well, then you know they came out with that movie called The Runaways with Dakota Fanning and Kristen Stewart.
Right. Which was based on the real story of the Runaway group where Joan Jett was part of.
And it was kind of based on her story. I remember seeing that and being like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Of course, I've always been a fan of, you know, I love rock and roll and don't give a damn about my bad reputation. like total, like, rock out songs for me. So
yeah, she's a rocker.
Oh, yeah. I was so excited.
Do you know if the group, the rest of the people are the same that used to be originally?
I don't think it's all the same Blackhearts from what I could see.
Right. But it doesn't matter, right? Usually it's the lead singer. Everybody else doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nobody, as long as Joan Jett is the rocking out, I'm a happy camper. But I mean the rest of the band was also super amazing. Like the guitar player, he was doing like crazy stuff, like holding it really up high and like just shredding it. And it it was so entertaining.
So was it all girls? A girl group?
No, just Joan Jett. Yeah, the Runaways was all girls.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So there's actually guys in the Blackhearts.
Right, the Blackhearts are guys. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So
yeah, and then there's Joan Jett.
I thought it was
Jett.
Maybe mixed or something.
Mm-mm.
Wow, that's good. So how long was the set for, like an hour and a half?
I want to say like an hour and a half or something. She came on and did like a total encore, and it was like she just kept going. Like she just has all this energy, and she sounded amazing.
Wow.
And it was just such a fun night. We got to go in the Gibson bus, and that was really cool. It's like a huge tour bus, and there's a piano in there and like a total like setup for, and it's got like beds and a shower, and it's like, a legit like rock and roll tour bus. It was so cool. And it was Gibson because all the guitars that were used last night were Gibson.
Yeah.
And that's how we got to go because Peter, my Facebook friend, is, you know, he works for Gibson. So that was his whole
setup. So he gave you passes and stuff. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. We were all VIP and everything. It was very exciting. I, of course, brought Nikki, my roommate, with me. And we had a really good time.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You know, I mean, I like rock shows. I like them at the House of Blues. It's always cool.
Yeah, I love that venue.
And and what's amazing is how these rockers, you know, still in their 40s, 50s, and they go strong, you know, they're still going strong.
I feel like those are some of the best concerts I've seen lately have been the Rolling Stones for their, you know, 50th anniversary tour.
Who are 90-something years old,
and they're,
they're pretty close
and,
to that.
And then seeing, you know, Joan Jett, and it's like, that's what gets me going.
Yeah.
You know, I love to see... You know, just something that like literally comes such a long way.
Right. That's true. That's
so
true.
Amazing.
And it's a relatively small venue, so you can see the people really close. The bands
And we were like, I mean, we were right up there, like the front of the stage.
Yeah.
So it was, it was real. She was so close to us. Cool. I was freaking out. Yeah.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Did you get a T-shirt or anything of Joan Jett?
I actually got, you know, I actually got makeup.
Oh, really?
Yes, I got a little Sephora bag of Kat Von D, actually.
Wow.
Has her own line of makeup, the tattoo.
The tattoo girl.
Artist, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was exciting. We, Nikki
What's
and
it
I
like?
Walked
Is it
away
good?
With some makeup. Yeah, it's really good. I actually, actually look at these colors. I think I put them in my purse here from last night. Oh, maybe I don't have them. Oh, no, I took them out. Okay. Never mind. But I had them in here last night, but I was going to show you, like, the amazing colors of eyeshadow that we got.
Oh, wow.
They were, like, really, really pretty. We got eyeliner and lipstick. And, oh, yeah.
I know.
Pull
out. I can't imagine a makeup line from that girl, you know what I mean? But obviously she's, you know, she's using her name, I guess, for something. Is she, was she like on TV or something? She was also the one that had the affair.
I think she was LA Inc. Yes, yes, and she was. Right. She was the one that
Jesse
was with
James,
Sandra Bullock's.
Yeah, Jesse
husband.
James or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the one. Yeah, and LA Inc. or something, right?
Yes,
yeah,
LA Inc. was, I think, her show. And it's funny because her actual like tattoo shop is not too far from my house.
Yeah.
Because I live near Fountain. So she's on like Fountain and like... I don't know if it's like La Brea or Highland. It's somewhere like right around there.
Wow.
And so I always pass it when I'm like driving down Fountain. I'm like, there's Kat Von D.
She's totally full of tats, huh? Her whole body.
I think she's got them on her face too, right? Doesn't she have like the little black tears
like
coming down from her eye? Yeah, I think
probably.
So. I think that's her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any tattoos. I have virgin skin.
Yeah.
I'm free of ink.
There you go. Keep it that way, you know?
I mean, I totally dig tats, though. I think they're
pretty
awesome.
Though.
My mom has one. She's got a tramp stamp.
Really?
Yeah, she got it. Like, I remember, I think I was a teenager when she got it. She was, like, out of town with her girlfriends.
Oh, God.
And, and she got a tattoo. It looks, like, really awesome, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, don't put on any. You know, it can always get, especially in your career, you know, it can get in the way, I think.
That's what I feel like I would do. If I did get one, I would do, like, what my mom did.
Yeah.
Like, I would be
like
okay.
Invisible one.
Like, I'm good with my career and my marriage and my kids are grown up enough, you know. Like, I don't have to be, like, the perfect role model anymore. I can kind of go crazy. And I'm like, yeah, good for you, Ma. Go nuts.
I know. And maybe put it in a hidden place or something on your body.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. It's on her back.
But that's what I don't get. I mean, why would you get a tattoo where nobody can see it? You know? I mean, what's the point?
Well, I mean,
so,
people could maybe see it a little bit. Like in the summer when she's... Like when I was in high school, oh my God, she had a rocking body. My mom, she had like a six-pack and freaking... Oh my gosh, yeah. She looked almost better in a bikini than I did. I was like, my gosh.
Is that
she
possible?
Was like... It's for like all the like high school boys. It was like that song, like that Stacy's mom, you know? But it would be like Mia's mom. Has got it going on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was like the ultimate MILF. Like the guys really? Would ask my mom out before they would ever look at me.
Yeah.
Like she was
so she's
my mom
MILF,
was
the
hot
definitely,
one.
Huh?
She was oh my gosh. She was my best friend, like right. in high school. People would think that she was my sister.
Really?
She was like, uh-huh.
How cool.
Oh yeah. Hot mama. I love you, Mom.
Yeah, well, you got good genes, I guess, you know. So your mom is pretty as well? Is
my she, mom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's yeah. awesome.
Yeah. I've never seen her, but I guess, well, maybe when she comes to visit, she can come
oh,
to the
for
show
sure.
sometime.
Oh, for sure. For sure, yeah.
Does she come to visit you sometime?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, she owns a travel agency, B&B Travel.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, so it's easy for us to get flights
so
back and forth.
Oh, so she flies a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds good. So the weekend's coming and,
yeah, and you're,
beautiful
you're
weather.
Getting
and,
away for
yeah,
a
I'm
going to
get
minute.
Away for a little bit. And
that'll
we'll
be
see
nice.
Wherever my car takes me, that's where I'm going to go. And
good call.
Yeah.
Rely on the Stang, on that Mustang. Be like, all right, take yeah. control. Show me where to go. Show me the way of yeah. my dream weekend.
I know.
I dare you to talk to your car like that, Sam.
Yeah.
I dare you to do it.
Okay, I'll do it, and somebody can videotape it.
Yes.
Then I really look good.
Yes, and then post it on Facebook.
I know. The stuff that people post, man, sometimes it amazes me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
just
yeah.
so funny.
Pure entertainment.
Yeah. Are you going to go see this new movie called Planes? Like the animated movie, like Cars and stuff? You know, it's
oh,
a Disney movie.
I don't know.
Yeah, it
I
looks
mean,
so
loved,
cute.
I loved Cars.
Yeah.
Cars was adorable.
I think you like this one, too. It looks like a cute
Planes.
Movie.
Planes.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's made by all the same people
yeah.
as Cars.
You see, I don't know if it's Pixar. I mean, it's because, I mean, Disney owns Pixar now. But I don't know if it's actually Pixar that did the huh. movie because they haven't mentioned them anywhere. But Cars was made by them, so...
Yeah. Cars yeah. was Pixar.
See, I figured that huh. I'm going to spill here with all the liquids here. Now the place is going to smell like alcohol.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, what's so bad about that?
Yeah,
nothing.
I guess not.
It's Friday. It'll
make
Friday.
People
We're
drunk
allowed.
From the fumes, you know?
Yeah, everybody would be wasted just by walking in here.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We have some wipes later. And so the weekend's coming up. How's your friend Nikki? Is she still happy here in LA?
Yeah,
she
yeah.
likes it?
Yeah, she's having a great time.
What does she do? I forget what she does.
She interns for TMZ.
That's right, that's mm-hmm. right. And she likes it?
Yeah. She does.
Cool. So she's fun. Staying.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean I'd like for her to stay.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
Yeah, well, we're a good team. I like, you know, dragging her along with me to all my crazy ventures. Like she said to me last night, you know, we're in the Gibson bus and, you know, we're taking a tour of the bus and we're all the way in the back and, you know, we're sitting on the couch just looking at, you know, all the cars go by on Sunset Boulevard and she looks at me and she goes, how the hell do we manage to get ourselves in these kind of situations? She's like, this is just so crazy. Like,
yeah.
how does this happen? You know, because since she's been here, I've, you know, I've taken her on all my crazy
yeah.
ventures. And, you know, well, because that's L.A.
Yeah,
you can't
LA.
Be afraid to just jump on opportunities.
Right.
You know, that's why. Because
yeah.
I see an opportunity and I take it.
Yeah, that's
you know,
the
like,
way
hey,
to do it.
Yeah, this looks like fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to know, like, you know, 12 people at one place to go. It's like, well, you know, do you really know, like, a lot of people there, whatever? Like, people would ask me all the time. Like, no.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't really know anybody, but just, like, one person. I'm like, who cares? I'll make friends.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, it's all
Crash
about
the party. What
having
the hell?
Crazy experiences in your life.
Yeah.
So that's, you know,
that's
people
true.
Ask, like, how do you get to do all these crazy things? Because like, I make it happen. I, you
that's
know.
That's true, yeah.
I try to meet the right people, and I just jump on it. And
you like adventures and stuff, so that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
It's all about having a story to tell.
Yeah.
And that also makes for, you know, good for our listeners.
Yeah.
Then all you all get to hear my crazy LA stories. So,
yeah. There you go.
It works out well for everyone.
Yeah. There you go. You know, I mean, at your age, you can do those things. You know, you just go anywhere and you just fit in, you know.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
I try. Cause,
yeah, that's. I mean, the youth is wasted on the young. That's what they say. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, our patient guest is waiting here, and we're going to bring her in, and her name is Kelly Nicholson. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Mia.
Hello.
And Kelly has been on the show before, she tells me. I just don't remember.
He doesn't remember me. I was not very memorable.
But I can... No, that's not true. But I can... In fact, I'm going to look up to see exactly when you were here. Do you remember?
No. Okay. I wasn't memorable, believe me.
Oh, relax.
We were just...
Relax.
Chatting.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go... Because you were here when Brigetta was here. So yeah. I'm going to do a search... Real quick, and let's see, Kelly, and it found you right here, December 19, 2012.
Oh, okay.
So that's about 7 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, eight months ago. Wow, that wasn't too long.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, you came here as the life coach, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk about that too.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. That day we talked about a Jewish Disneyland. Yeah, I don't know.
It was I don't remember that.
It was something funny
Jewish
we talked about.
Disneyland?
Yeah, that's what
okay.
You...
Like,
out of
that's
all
how
the things,
you grab people.
See, that's why neither one of us remember it.
Of all the things that you could have possibly said that you guys talked about, you said, oh, we talked about a Jewish Disneyland.
Well, it must have been funny, so I wrote it on the archive. There.
Yes, that's very important in the life coaching world.
It really is, yeah.
Oh, man.
So welcome to the show. And Kelly brought us cocktails, believe it or not.
They're
that
so
are waiting
pretty.
Here. We haven't even toasted yet. And they look delicious. She brought them in big white, what do you call this? A chalice or something? Or
it's a margarita glass.
Margarita glass.
Yeah. Okay.
But mine's pink. Hey.
Yeah. Except it's not made of glass. Oh, is it glass?
No, it's plastic.
It's plastic. Okay. Yeah. So
I'm clumsy. I just wanted to make sure I got here and it was in.
No, it's okay. You don't want it to break or anything, you know.
So I did the plastic route. Everything.
Yeah. So tell us what we're going to be drinking here, Kelly.
This is a platinum margarita. Mm-hmm. And every bar that I manage always has one on the menu.
Really?
And it is a $50 margarita.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
People pay $50 for a margarita.
Well, the funny thing is, the first time I suggested it, I was managing a bar and I had to get approval from the owners because I had to get them to buy the margarita or the tequila.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which was quite expensive. And I said, well, you know, if worse comes to worse, no one buys it. It looks good on the menu. It dresses us up. And you guys like tequila, so if we don't sell it, you'll drink it, right? And
right.
They're like, okay. So that's how I got them to okay it. Yeah. And they sold.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You always have that guy that wants to come in and flash his money around and be the big
impress
shot.
A girl
or, on a date and wants to buy her, you know, the $50 margarita and look like a big shot. So I always say, I'll give you the opportunity to flash your money in my bar.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
it.
I always have the platinum margarita on the menu.
Cool. So let's toast.
Oh my gosh.
You're not drinking any, Kelly. Just Mia and me.
Yeah,
so
I'm driving. I gotta have
drinking.
Water.
Cheers, Mia.
Cheers.
To many good times. Thank you,
LA Talk Radio, and happy Fridays.
And I made it light, so I know I took into consideration that it's morning.
You call this light? Wow.
Oh, okay.
But it's perfect, Kelly.
I think
Kelly.
My straw is cracked. I'm not.
Oh, you're not getting any? We have other straws. Here.
Kelly,
either
this is perfect. I love that.
Yay.
You know, I'm like...
Well, you can flavor it with different flavors. Since it's morning, I use juices. I just used a variety of juices.
So it's tequila and juices. What kind of juices do you put in there?
Well, and some triple sec and a little bit of, tiny bit of sweet and sour. And I squeezed an orange, so there's a fresh orange in there. And then I used a tropical blend of...
oh, my gosh, it's so good.
V8,
it's amazing.
V8 splash juices.
Yeah.
And so...
Wow. What's a triple sec? I always hear about that. Is that like a mixer or something?
It's an orange-flavored liqueur. And it's very sweet.
Really?
So I only put a little bit in, but it's really sweet. And it really makes a difference.
What drink does it, alcohol does it usually go with? Like vodka?
Triple sec in a lot of cocktails. It'll be paired a lot of times with sweet and sour, which is a mixer. And it makes a really good lemony flavor. And then the triple sec is orange flavor.
Yeah.
There's Cointreau. Which I didn't put. Actually, usually I put Cointreau in the Platinum Margarita, which is a premium version of the Triple Sec.
Okay.
But I don't think it's as sweet, so I prefer the Triple Sec.
I see.
Which is why I didn't have Cointreau. I had Triple Sec.
Yeah. That's cool. Wow, I can feel it already, man.
Oh, wow.
But, so
I
haven't I haven't eaten anything yet.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, me neither.
I'm a margarita drink. I love margaritas, so maybe I did get carried away. I was thinking I was making it for me.
Oh, cool. So now, so you've been on the show before, and you're a life coach and, and that, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But this time I invited you because of the drinks and the bartending and everything. So so you teach bartending, and where do you do it? Where do you teach?
Most of the colleges in Southern California.
Oh, really?
I have a class tomorrow at Harbor College, LA Harbor College. And then
that's
one,
not Harvard, that's Harbor.
Harbor, okay. Yeah, Harbor. The Harvard School of Bartending. Yes, there's an idea.
There you go.
But I also teach it online all over the country. I kind of changed what bartending school is. About 12 years ago I started doing it. And I added all the things that managers are looking for, because having been a manager throughout my career, I know the difference in between just knowing a lot of cocktail recipes and being a good bartender, which includes customer service, sales techniques, ethics, handling difficult customers, the laws of selling and serving alcohol. So I created a class that covers all of that.
It's not just about pouring the drink. I mean, there's a lot behind it. That's true.
Because as a manager, it's really frustrating when you're trying to hire bartenders and they know a bunch of cocktail recipes and they think that they're a bartender.
Right.
That's
they don't know how to sell.
Part of it. That's the fun part
right.
and the easy part. But the difficult part is finding bartenders that have personality,
right.
that know how to keep the customers coming back and make them feel welcome and important and special. Though, you know, it's important to know how to handle difficult customers, because you always have a lot of problems every night. It's a guarantee.
Really?
So as a server in a bar or restaurant, you have to have good customer service skills.
Yeah.
So I teach all of that, and that's what led to my life coaching.
Wow.
Because I really got into it. I really got into the customer service part of it, and having never been trained, I've been through all kinds of training programs as a bartender throughout my career, but nobody ever offered the kind of training that I am offering now, and that was what was missing for me. I had to figure it out on my own and learn and make mistakes, and I'd get in arguments with people, and I'd be like, you can't talk to me like that, because they can't. But then I realized at one point, I realized when people drink alcohol, they regress back into childhood and become about five. So in a little while, I'm going to see what you guys were like when you were five. It's the absolute truth, though. If it, and you're laughing, but think about some of your friends, you know. The drunk girl that gets drunk and hangs on everyone and tells everyone, I love you, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
And that's probably the same little girl that was on the playground wanting to be everybody's best friend and holding
hands.
That's
true, huh?
The guy that gets all jealous. I always tease about the guy that gets, you know, he comes into the bar all normal and happy, and he's on a date. And then the drunker he gets, the more possessive he gets with the girl. And he thinks everybody wants her now all of a sudden that he's drunk. And he gets all mad and possessive and like, you know, I'll take you out. Don't look at my girl. I'll fight you. I'll
take
you out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's just such a stereotypical guy in a bar once he starts drinking. And I always imagine him probably on the playground being a five-year-old, you know, grabbing all the toys. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine.
That's
and so
true.
It helped me, though, realizing that helped me be more patient, because I realized, oh, I think these people should act like adults, and they're not adults. They're five-year-olds, and so I'm much more patient. But anyway, so those are the kind of things that I teach in the class, and I explain it instead of, you know, throughout my career of taking training to serve people. They always say smile. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, sometimes you just don't want to smile, and you don't care, and you want to the bartender fantasy is, you know, you have a soda gun. That you dispense the sodas with. And sometimes you just want to pick it up and put your finger on the nozzle so it goes real far and squirt. And just squirt the whole crowd of people. And, like, you can get very bitter. Bartenders, a lot of bartenders are very bitter and jaded. And you guys have probably been out
and
about.
And I've noticed that. That's what I was going to tell you. I mean, they rarely smile.
It's a tough job. And I don't want to say, you know, it's a fun job.
Right.
It's a great job. I did it for a very long time and had a great time and made great money. But it's really, it tests your physical stamina, your mentality, your intelligence. You have to memorize a lot, and there's constant, you know, short-term memory things. You're adding prices in your head, and then on top of all that, there's the emotional drama of customers being rude and obnoxious, and it hurts your feelings. You know,
that's
it adds
true.
up. It's cumulative. And so you have to learn how to I teach, you know, in the class psychology, how to keep yourself in a good mood when you don't feel like it.
Right.
You always have to be in a good mood. It's not optional, because I know the nights when I wasn't, I just don't make any money.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what's your problem? You know, and I'm thinking, well, I'm a human. I'm having a bad night, but I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, that's true. So obviously social skills and stuff you have to have, right? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you're dealing with drunk people
really
all the time.
Yeah. I know, my
that's
God.
That's really hard.
That would be a hard job.
I went to college. How I got involved in the business, I was in college at Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio, and I was on an academic scholarship. So I didn't have any extra money. They paid, you know, the tuition and my room and board was paid, but I didn't have any spending money. So I lied to get a cocktail waitressing job and lied about my age. And I got hired. And it was back when they didn't really check IDs and they didn't care. It was in Ohio. So I got the job. And then these guys came into the bar one night and said, we want to make, they were regulars. They knew me. And they said, we want to make you a bartender. And I was 20. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no, that's a boy's job. I don't want to do that. And I was one of those real dingy, flighty girls that I was cocktailing and flirting with guys and, like, you know, just dingy. And they said, no, you'll make more money. And okay, got me there. That was easy. All right, when and where? And I kept calling them and saying, you know, I'm going to quit my job. Or, you know, like, I don't know how to do this. Are you going to show me? And they kept saying yes. And, of course, with openings, everything's always at the last minute. And they just kind of forgot about me. And they called me up and said, you know, be there Friday night. We're all black. And so I did, because, you know, what do I have to lose?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I got behind the bar. It was my first time ever behind a bar.
Yeah.
Ever. And fortunately, I was working with two very patient guys who I just kept asking, like, what's a screwdriver? And they'd say vodka and orange juice. And so I'd just look at all the I'd have to read all the labels of the bottles and find something that said vodka. Because I wasn't even old enough to drink.
Yeah.
I think at that point, maybe I had turned 21 by then. But, you know, then I'd find vodka, and I knew what orange juice was, so I'd add orange juice, and I'd put a straw in it, and there you go. And I just really learned the drinks by the customers telling me what's in it, or the other bartenders, and one by one learned them. But I was pretty good pretty fast.
Yeah.
It was a natural. I had the natural skills, which I'm not – I don't feel like I'm bragging at all about it, because there's so many other things I could have done with my life. But I just – had the knack, you know, I had the talent.
That's so interesting. That's awesome.
Yeah, somebody has to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Somebody does. And it was just such a fun job, and it gave me a really interesting life. And actually, I learned more about business and people from doing that job. It was an incredible education, and that's how I ended up becoming a life coach.
Wow. Because
I learned so much about human behavior.
That's true. That's true.
So now, where you worked that first time that you were a bartender, was it like really busy, like
packed?
I mean, just constantly here.
Yeah.
Like,
packed.
Wow.
And my attitude was, you know what? You guys hired me, so I didn't. And also, you know, I've always been pretty confident. I always felt like I could do anything anyway. I didn't really think about it, you know. I just showed up and did it, and I picked it up pretty quickly. But yeah, it was packed, crazy, and we drank. Wow. We would drink on the job, and I learned, you know, my lesson. I would be really drunk at the end of the night and useless.
Wow.
That's interesting. Funny. My first experience of bartending.
So that was in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you grew up?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yes. Ooh, Midwest.
What city?
East Liverpool.
East
little
Liverpool.
Dot of a town, right on the border of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And you go into Pittsburgh, right by Pittsburgh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All those areas are really cool, because everything's so close and nearby, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Here, you have to drive distances to everything, you know. Wow.
Yeah, no traffic. This is a funny story. When I went to visit my mother once a couple years ago, we were going to see somebody in the hospital, and she said, oh, we have to hurry. We've got to leave before there's traffic, 5 o'clock traffic. And I was like, oh, great. You know, I'm thinking of LA traffic. Mm-hmm. And so we get on the road at about 5, and she's like, oh, darn, there's traffic. And I was like, what traffic, Mom? And she said, look, there's cars on the road.
Oh.
That's traffic. My mom likes to drive with no other cars on the road, so she doesn't have to worry about swerving, I guess. She wants the whole road to herself.
Oh,
but
God.
Kind of funny. But yeah, that was traffic.
That's
so cute.
Yeah. By the way, I'm rereading a book that I read some time ago called Traffic. And it's everything you want to know about why the freeways are this way, why drivers are this way, how we behave and all that stuff on the roads. And it's really, really fascinating. I mean, usually I don't read books over again, but I'm reading it for the second time. And traffic has become such a big part of our lives, you know, especially in L.A. Did you see all this phenomena of like cars stopping in the middle of the freeway? You're going 80, suddenly you just stop to a standstill. Yeah. And so it's interesting to read this stuff, you know. So I definitely recommend, it's a book called Traffic. I don't remember who wrote it, but
so is it like they judge, they tell you according to what kind of driver you are, like if you're an aggressive driver, you're a certain personality? Or...
That's part of it, yeah. But they really explain to you how things work. Traffic patterns and how people behave. Like he says, for example, you know, traffic is where the most diverse group of people get together and there are really no rules of conduct. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so that's why people, you know, I mean, think how many people are around you, yet you're not really, how do you communicate with them? You don't really know how when you're in the car.
Oh, I know how.
You use your blinker.
But you know what? We need a universal sign for I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I make a mistake, and I'm very apologetic when I do. I always own up to it, and I'm like, you know, I don't know what to do. I need to, I always think there's got to be a gesture for that.
Yeah, well, you wave.
A gesture for the opposite.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I always do the wave. If somebody lets me in,
well, that
I
not
do
a wave, but like when I'm sorry, I feel like I need a little more. I want to do a little extra instead of just waving at them, because that almost seems like,
I usually wave like a few times. Like I'll wave with my left hand, and then I'll
wave with the right hand.
With my right hand, so they know.
Not both at the same time.
Equally, like in case you didn't see it the first time. I'm going to do it up here
the
second time.
I like that.
But isn't it funny, I mean, that we're so considerate that you even feel that you want to tell them you're sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you go in other places, it's not like that at all, you know. People just couldn't care less.
Yeah.
You know, they aggressively will cut in front of you and things like that.
But then,
you know?
Like, they wave and then it's okay. You know, like you're driving and they cut in front of you and you're like, what the hell? What a dick! What the fuck? And then all of a sudden they wave and it's like, okay.
That's exactly why I want to do it, because sometimes I do make a mistake. Sometimes I do cut someone off. Or, you know, whatever. You learn when you're in this kind of environment, you learn to become aggressive. You almost have to. I remember my first time driving on the freeway in L.A. Remember I came from Ohio where, like, if there's cars on the road, that's traffic?
Mm-hmm.
So it was frightening. Oh, I was so scared. I was like a little old lady, and cars are zooming by me on both sides, on both and all the lanes, zooming, flying by me, and I'm getting beeped at because I'm going the speed limit. And I realized quickly, oh no, it doesn't work that way. And then I became, and then also I used to drive in New York City. I used to babysit for this guy, his little boy, and he'd give me his Mercedes to drive around the town in the day. Like, New York City, there's nothing like driving in New York.
Yeah.
So you have to become aggressive or you don't get anywhere.
Right.
So,
that's true.
Yeah, that's what I learned when
that's
I moved
true.
Here.
That's true. So the place forces you to behave in a certain way. Yeah. And that's what I was thinking about Israel when I was there, you know, because I'm trying to explain why are people driving like this. But I think, you know, when the streets are smaller, the roads are smaller, it's so crowded all the time. Yeah, you have to be aggressive.
Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people, you know, they talk about negatively about traffic here, but the thing is, there's a lot of courtesy going on here compared to other places. So for those of you who think LA is rude, go to some other places and see, you know, like New York, for example.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, or overseas or that
kind of
thing.
Well, one thing that helped me stay calm when I'm in traffic, especially if there's an accident, if I see an accident ahead, all I can think is I'm going to pray for those people. And then that calms me down because I think there's nothing else I can do at this point. Why not do something positive and turn a negative into a positive instead of just sitting here and being all mad and angry? You know, first of all, grateful that I'm not in an accident.
That's
and then,
true.
Of course, praying for
that's
the people
that are. That's a great way to look at it.
It really makes a difference for me. It calms me down because I get out of my own head and stop being so selfish, thinking about me. Instead, focusing on the poor people that are in the accident. So
it's spoken like a true life coach, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. She knows how to live.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have this book in my hand, Tales of the Lioness. Is this your book now? I mean, you handed
that
it to me, but
yes, that's your gift.
That is
a collection of stories. You know, I try to stay open to the powers of the universe and let things come to me. So pretty much I don't have plans, but things happen. So that was one of the things that I wanted to do something to empower women. And I thought a woman who's a lioness is a really strong, fierce woman. And I looked up the definition in the dictionary. Pretty much I came up with, you know, a female with fierce courage. So I trademarked the name Lioness, and I put it on t-shirts and with the tagline, a female with fierce courage. And they started selling all over the country. And so then, I don't know, literally I came up with that idea, and in 5 minutes I had an ad on Craigslist and a posting on Facebook, and I started getting responses. I just thought, I want to collect stories. I want to give women the opportunity to write their story of how they overcame some kind of obstacle. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, the book, I mean, I sobbed the whole way through it while I was working on it. I edited all the stories. And I tried to keep the women's voices. They, most of them weren't writers. A couple were, one or two are writers, but most of them weren't. So I did some editing just to make it flow better and make it make sense.
Right.
But it gave these women, and myself included, I wrote three of the stories, an opportunity to share our story and to be heard. And one woman said, oh, my family's going to be so happy because now I don't have to keep telling the story over and over and they don't have to keep hearing it anymore.
Right.
So now it's in a book. I can just give it to people. And it just was really cathartic for all of us. And I think, you know, I'm very partial, but I think it's got some magic in it. I think it's a really heartfelt, you know, sentimental.
That's great. That was good timing.
Cool. Yeah.
You need to read something like that.
Well, and what's cool about it, you're welcome. It's a good gift. And you can read one story and then put it down for a month and come back to it later. You know, it's not like you have to read the whole book and then if you lose track of time and go back a month later, you have to reread it.
Yeah.
What happened.
Nikki and I can have story time every night. That'll be our new thing before we go to bed. I'll read a story from
this.
So we could both be.
So what's the title of the book there?
It's called Tales of the Lioness, and it's available on Amazon.com.
Okay.
Or on one of my websites.
Right. By Kelly Nicholson.
Kelly
Kelly Nicholson. Just joining us.
The website's findyourexcellence.com.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're like all over the place.
I am.
Now, what made you, when did you move to L.A.? How long ago?
November 1st, 1986.
Oh, wow. So you've been here for a while.
Yeah. But I came from New York. I lived in New York before I came here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So, from Ohio, you moved to New York.
Well, from Ohio, I went to Florida. I lived in Orlando, Florida, for a year. That was my marriage. I was married my first year, my first marriage. And then I moved to New York, and then I came to L.A.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you tried, like, different big cities.
Yeah, you hit all the major cities.
You know what? I had a great youth.
Yeah.
I did everything, and I have no regrets, and interesting life. So,
that's
amazing. I've had a good life. And now, you know, as you get older, like you were saying earlier, the youth wisdom is wasted on youth.
Or youth
waited on youth. And it's so true because
youth is wasted on the young.
But I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy where I am now, too.
That's good. That's very good. So you had a good childhood, you're saying?
I had a great childhood. I had great parents.
Yeah.
You know, not my life's been full of challenges, thus the book, Tales of the Lioness. Three of my stories are in there, and they're tragic. But I've had a great life.
Wonderful. That's good to hear.
Good.
Yeah, you don't hear that much of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Like, my childhood was great. I had the Leave It to Beaver childhood. My mother, I'd come home from school, and there'd be cookies. You'd smell cookies from the porch.
Wow.
And she would teach my little friends and I how to knit and crochet. And
that's so
she was
cute.
Just the cutest, coolest mom, and my dad just doted on me. And
very nice. Did you have any siblings?
I have a younger sister.
Okay.
And we were very close growing up, but she got taller than I, and she could beat me up, so that wasn't fair. But love my sister. We just really had a nice childhood.
Cool. So now, what attracted you to L.A.?
I had an aunt and uncle that lived here, and when I was 12, we came on vacation. And it was so beautiful and warm. I'm always cold. If I said that the one thing that I was tortured by being a child was that I was always cold, because in Ohio it snows and everything. I was always, whatever room of the house there was, you know, I was in, I was by the heater. Mm-hmm. And I always had blankets on, and I was always shivering and cold. I was just always cold. So when we came to California and it was hot, and they said it's hot all the time, and my ears just perked up, like, all the time? Like, even in the winter? Like, Christmas? Are you sure? And I really questioned this, and they promised me that it was always warm. And so
always
in my
warm.
Mind, I planted this, goal that I'm going to live in Los Angeles and California, and I did.
Nice, nice. So did you move here on your own? I mean, you or were you still married at the time?
I came with my best friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who lives in Irvine now.
And so the marriage didn't last very long in Florida?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was my match. We were both Leos, though. Uh-huh. And he was my match, but I was young. I was very young.
Yeah.
But we're friends.
Yeah. Good.
That's good. Good.
Yeah, we stayed friends.
I know. I usually stay friends, too. You know, I mean, there's no reason to fight.
No sense. Yeah. If you cared about them at one time.
Exactly.
And it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I want them to be happy, you know. I've always been one of those people that's not possessive, either. I don't, like, once I'm done with a guy, it's like, you can have him.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Well, because I want him to be happy, you know, if it's my friend. Right. And, you know, like, be happy. Yeah. I'm not going to. I think that stems from, though, also growing up in a little town.
Uh-huh.
We all had to share every the guys because there were only so many. You know, our school, there was not very many. Because I've been questioned about that. They're like, really? You just don't, you let it go? You don't care? And I'm like, well, I let them go because I want them to be happy. And, you know, I'm committed to the new one, the one I'm
with
now.
True,
so why would I hang on to that other person?
Exactly.
So. Yeah. Some people are very possessive, though, huh?
Yeah.
They'll even be jealous after they break up with you. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Even if it's years later.
I think it's unhealthy to do that, though, because you haven't let go. It's not fair to the future new person.
That's true.
And then also not fair to the person in the past. You didn't want them. You didn't stay with them or whatever. They didn't want you, whatever. Right. So let them go and let them be happy and let someone else be happy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. When you love someone, set them free, right?
Yeah.
there you go.
Just let them go.
So this is cool. So you got into the bartending and everything.
Yeah.
And so then you decided to actually teach it.
Well, such a long story. About 12 years ago in January, I went and got a flu shot. And you know how you keep reading about all these things and vaccinations?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It did something to me. Literally in days, I couldn't get out of bed. And I thought I had the flu. I thought I had a severe case of the flu, which was like so ironic that I got a flu shot. And for about a year, I kept thinking I had the flu. I kept just thinking every month I'd get the flu again, and I was bedfast. And then I started going to doctors because I realized this is just not normal. And so anyway, one thing led to another. I spent about 2 years in bed. Literally,
what?
I could work about one day a week. I couldn't. My little dogs, I had two little dogs. I was so bad, they would be scratching at the side of the bed because they'd be hungry. And I would get up and drag myself to the kitchen and just dump cereal on the floor and let them eat cereal because I just couldn't move. I couldn't do anything.
Oh
so I'd have about one day a week where I could maybe get stuff done I had to do, like laundry and maybe go to the store. So anyway, it was tragic. It was awful. And, you know, who knows why it happened. The good thing is, then I started thinking, what can I do? I can't work. You know, what can I do? So I started writing a little how-to bartend manual, and one thing led to another, and now it's, you know, a whole business.
Is that what this binder is in front of
you? Yeah, that's the workbook. It's grown. It wasn't that long in the beginning, but it's turned into that.
So is there, like, every single drink ever and how to make it in there?
No. The new trend is... It's not about the recipes, because most of the recipes are never used, like the standard ones. I teach, you know, my students, they got to learn about 65 of the standard recipes. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, what's important is knowing the liquor and being able to create an original cocktail that the customer's going to like, because most bars have their own original recipes now.
Oh.
And so how would I know what the platinum margarita is if I didn't work, you know, at Kelly Nicholson's bar? So how can I make that? So I rely on the customer. You know, I teach my students to ask questions.
Right.
You know, what color is it? Do you remember what flavor it was? What did it taste like? And then I can create an original cocktail that could be similar.
Right.
So that's more important, I think, these days than just knowing a bunch of recipes that... But, you know, you still have to know the original recipes, a lot of the popular ones, too.
Yeah.
That's true, So you teach people and stuff. How long is the course?
There's three versions. Bartending the Easy Way is a two-day course. Mm-hmm. And what's important is that the binder that they get, the manual that they get, is full of information. So they have a lot of homework. Mm. They study from the book. I do all the lecture in class, and then they study from the book, and they read. I tell them you got to get familiar with all the liquor, and I have pictures of, you know, all the brands and the recipes, obviously. They study the recipes. And then we do the testing the second day. And then the business of bartending is a three-day class, so it's just more time with me, more lecture. And then the business of bartending master's class, which is a four-day class.
Oh, okay. And those are long enough to learn this?
Yeah, because the book is incredible. It covers everything they need to know. And the lectures. I give them lectures. And they do homework. They have a lot of homework. They do online quizzes, and there's exercises and activities. And I teach it online. And online, I teach all over the country. Yeah. I have students, you know, in other states.
That's cool. Yeah. Because, you see, my daughter, like about a year or two ago, she went to bartending school. And it was taking her months.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, that's why I took into consideration, you know, I asked people. I've worked with a lot of people that went to bartending school. And I don't want to criticize, because I'm sure going to bartending school, you would that time behind the bar is valuable. But it's not, number one, it's not enough. And number two, it's overkill. It's too much.
Yeah.
If you can't figure out how to put ice in a glass and how to add a mixer once you've poured the proper portions of liquor, then, you know, like, really, how hard is that? Like, how many hours do you have to spend doing that?
Right.
And, you know, I tell my students, practice it at home, but what I really teach them is how to pour the shots and the increments and look good, and how to pour without counting. That's another thing they teach you, to count, and you shouldn't have to count because too much is going on while you're pouring.
Right.
So I teach my students to learn to pour like a robot, so you don't have to give it any thought.
Right.
And they do the tail and different, you know, I just have different styles and techniques that I teach in the class. And it works. My bartenders are working. And I've had many bar owners call me and say, can you send me one of your bartenders? I don't care if they have any experience.
Really?
I just want someone trained by you. They've come and taken the class. I had two owners of a bar in Hollywood take the class a couple years ago. They were going to buy this bar. And they took the bartending class. Then I also have a bar management class. They took the management class, and they bought the bar. And I never heard back. I never heard anything from them. And then just last week, I finished a class at LA City College. Two of my students were their employees. They paid for them to take the class.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, very nice. Tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can learn about the classes. Also, do you do anything with your life coaching? I mean, do you like...
I teach a workshop for life coaching workshop too.
Tell
is find your excellence. Okay, so for the bartending class, all of the bartending related stuff, my consulting and all that is at barbizz.com. It's BARBIZZ with two Z's .com.
Okay.
And then for the life coaching classes, I have a class called Find Your Excellence, and it's about a year's worth of life coaching crammed into doing all these exercises and activities that help you find yourself and create self-awareness. And that's at findyourexcellence.com.
Okay.
And then I also have a class called Turn Your Ideas into Cash, because now that the economy's, you know, everybody's struggling, or most people are struggling along, I'm really trying to encourage people to start their own business.
Right.
Because that's what I did. I took matters into my own hands. I worked when I could, and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy creating and doing these things and coming up with these ideas that I'm trying to encourage other people to do the same thing so that they can find some happiness in their work. I work all the time, but it never feels like work.
Really?
Oh, I never regret getting out of bed. I never think, oh, I got to do this tomorrow or
that's
that.
That's good.
No. I love everything that I
That's
do.
That's really good. That's important.
I'm grateful.
Yeah. Well, Kelly Nicholson, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So on your websites, people can find out where your classes are and everything.
Yes,
and
the class
schedules
are on the
online classes
website.
And all that. And the book, again, is Tales of the Lioness, right?
Tales of the Lioness. They can also buy that on findyourexcellence.com.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank
Kelly, thanks so much. The drink is amazing.
So good.
Great.
My head is swimming now.
I know. You drank almost all of yours.
I know. Well, no, there's still a lot left. But
good morning.
I probably shouldn't kill it all.
I'm like, can I get this to go and drink it tonight?
All right. Well, thanks for bringing the cocktails for us, Kelly. You're a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And everybody go check
her
out, and life coaching and bartending. You can't go wrong. Okay, so Mia, that's it. Have a good weekend.
You too.
I will. And everybody, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
You have been been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.